Amen. Amen. Psalms 1, I'm reading from the NIV. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here today to worship you. And in our celebration, Lord, we put you first. You're first in everything in our life. We're grateful, Lord, that you brought us together as a family of God. And we thank you, Lord, for uniting us by your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we ask that you inhabit the praise of your people and all that we do today. Let it bring glory to your name, and may it further the expansion of your kingdom in the earth. We pray this, Lord, believing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Walker, we're doing those, well, you just bring the word kind of thing. I don't know if I can speak. I started coming up with all these excuses. It's been a while since I spoke. I'll just keep leading praise and worship. And then God has a sense of humor. Look what he did today. He had me leading worship, speaking, and I'm sure Sister Deborah has some surprises for us with the choir. But I thought about it. I was like, well, what a blessing, because when it comes to Pastor John and Jane Walker, this is an easy one to do. I use them to inspire me for the message that I was going to bring today. And I want you to, if you have your Bible, we're going to have them up here in a minute. Go with me real quickly to John chapter 10. I've only got a minute to speak. I'm going to keep it really brief, but I got a lot of scriptures to throw at you. Because when I thought about John and Jane Walker, the message about the Good Shepherd came to my mind right away. It was just on my heart to encourage people, as we've had for many years, Pastor Walker, who is an encourager. He is the shepherd of this flock, and he's always been there to guide and instruct each and every one of us. And for some of us that started out here, and we remember our humble beginnings where he was doing the word all the time, and we have Brother Anastasio, and then we have Brother Nelson come, and we have Sister Lydia that comes, all these pastors and people with capable hands that now bring the word. So that's kind of why I was shy about coming up and speaking. I don't need to. We have plenty of good speakers here. And I enjoy it so much, because if I'm teaching Sunday school and I go home, I have CDs all over the place of each and every one of them. And I know when I put it on, I'm going to get the word, and it's going to be good. I'm sad that I missed the last couple weeks of Bible study, because, guys, if you haven't been here for this study in Romans, it's intense. I've been reading my scriptures at home. This thing is intense, and I just felt the Spirit when I was home just reading my scriptures on it. And I'm telling you, there's some breaking that's going on in there. And that was part of what led me here, too, because even with that, we had Pastor Don, who was here recently, and Pastor Barbara O'Connor, who came in, and what's her husband's name? Bob O'Connor? And they were doing the same thing in the Spirit without even knowing, encouraging so many people that, and this is what I'm going to get to into the Word in a minute, was encouraging those that have the Word in them and are capable of bringing it out. That's part of shepherding. So the Lord is trying to encourage many people here that it's time for you to get moving. The flock, we've been given the city. And everybody here has the ability to go out and help in encouraging and rounding up these people that need to come to the Lord and bring them to the house of refuge. This is a house of refuge where the word is good, where the teaching is good, where the Spirit moves constantly. So I want to go real fast. If I go too fast, let me know. In John chapter 10, I'm going right through 1 through 18. I'm going to have to remember to change this as I'm doing it. And I don't have my glasses. I broke my glasses, too, so bear with me. It says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in the other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate, which is Jesus, is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all of his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Everything we've taught and learned, when we speak the word, Jesus said, my people know my voice. My sheep know my voice. So when we go to speak and we're given the word that's on our heart, no matter who it's for, if it's for one person, if it's for a room full of people, whoever it is that you're ministering to, they're going to hear the voice and the very sound of Jesus coming from you. They will hear the Lord in what you're saying, and it's going to lead them to safety. Why? Because we're in some hard times. Look what just happened this week. Oh, everybody went in arms. There's bombs on the planes. And I'm sure some of us that are reasonable did get a little bit panicked, like, oh, no, there's another one coming. This is getting to be too much. But those that have confidence in the Lord and know, he's like, don't worry about that. It's not your place to worry about that. If it is happening, what do? We pray. We pray for the safety of all those involved. We pray for our nation. We pray for our communities, our towns, our cities. We don't have to worry about that. But when you know the voice of the Lord and he speaks to your heart, you're not going to be running around like a chicken with your head up. You're going to go straight to the word and say, you know what? He already told me what's going to happen. I know how this ends. I don't have to worry about all that. Yes, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and things. But if you can say that I am a child of the Most High God, you have nothing to worry about. Victory is ours. It's assured. It's the rest of the world and those flocks and those sheep that are scattered already that are wandering around that don't know. But I'm going to actually, there's covering for them too. Where did I leave off here? In verse 5, actually. But it also says after he calls them, they know him by his voice. But it says that, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. But they know the voice of the Lord. Whether they're in a church or not, they know. We've had testimonies in this body because Pastor Walker has connected us with so many different ministries, yes, around the world. People come here and they talk about, you know, we're up in these mountain regions or we're going to these tribal people. And they already know, they may not know Jesus' name, but they know the difference between good and evil. Now it's that person's job and responsibility to become a shepherd of that flock and bring the word to them and teach them so that they will know that they know that they know who he is. And that's what our job is. We may not live in a jungle region in Rochester, but it's just as wild out there. Those streets can be crazy. I mean, I'm about to turn 49, and it shocks me. I feel like I'm 80 because I'm like, kids, remember when I was a kid, it was all peaceful. Everybody loved each other. You could leave your door unlocked. Whatever. I'm not worried about it, but it's a shame how I've watched these city streets change. But if I had not been in the Lord, if I had not received good teaching, if I did not have good examples in front of me, if I was not discipled the right way, I could have been running around and fretting and just losing it out there. Not to mention, I could have been out there amongst them, part of them. But praise God for God. So again, in verse 6, it says, Jesus used his figure of speech, and he's speaking to the disciples, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf comes and attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. When we talk, and I'm going really fast, I apologize, but we speak of not us, but of what Jesus does. But again, it's the examples we have before us of who and how to watch a shepherd flock or shepherd the flock that is given to him. Whether it be one person, If that's who the Lord put on your heart and you're ministering to and you're sharing things with, then so be it. It may not be that you're going to be speaking, preaching, holding a mic. You won't be standing up on a podium. You could be anywhere. You could be at a hospital bed by their side. Bring that word. Speak the truth to them. Share with them about the love of Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. And he says, there's other sheep out there. They're not of this pen, but they also know my voice. There's some out there waiting. They've heard. They've heard Jesus call them, but they don't even know where to go right now. And it's weird because when you think about a shepherd, I mean, I don't live on a farm. I don't really do that. But some of them have the ability where they can just whistle or sing a tune, and the sheep just follow them wherever they go. And there's many of you that have songs on your heart, things on your heart, and just the light that shines from you in your life because you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Where you go, you don't even realize people are following you. It's like sheep are just gathering up behind you. They're waiting to see how you turn, left or right, where you're going to go. When there's times of trouble, what do? Do you panic and go, oh, that devil's just got me. He's doing everything. No. He doesn't control us. Signs and wonders of this world, when they see the blessings, those signs and wonders, they follow us. And people follow them. So guess what? You can instruct them and teach them how, guess when you have the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, they'll follow you too. You'll be part of that. And encourage them. I remember when I started speaking in this church, and Pastor Walker had to be really patient with me because I came up here my first time, I had a notebook. I was flipping pages, and I was going here, and some people were saying, you know what, when brother speaks, I need to bring a sleeping bag because you better camp out. We're going to be up here for a minute. Years later, this is my notes. That's it. Yeah, I get a lot of scriptures. I get a lot in the Word, but I don't need to do that because I became confident in what I do. I was trained in a way to go out and handle a flock if I need to. But I don't have to go yet. I haven't been sent out yet. I need to still develop in areas because what? There's times where we're sharing in the study. I know some of the people I've heard from them. Even in my years in the Lord, there's times I go, man, I just don't feel like, am I serving you right, Lord? Am I with you? But don't worry about that. You're going to get those moments in those valley situations where you get those doubts and you question everything. Nah, that part of it will keep you humble. It'll keep you from getting arrogant thinking, yeah, I got this. I don't need it. In fact, I'm just going to leave this right here. I'm going to do whatever I want. And the first thing you do is fall on your face. First thing you do. I've fallen so many times, and it's like, not in back into the world or anything like that, but I think, you know, I'm a youth leader. I can do whatever. And all of a sudden, these kids come up with questions like, and you feel like a dummy. So now you go back to your basics, and it's all about Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. But I am so grateful for what I get to see. Moving on, I want to go to Acts chapter 20, 22-23. This is where Paul is trying to encourage the elders of the church, the Ephesians and whatnot, that he is getting ready to leave. He's come, he's brought the word, he's done what he said, but he's called out again. So I am going to start in 22. I'm going to move real quick. It says, now I am compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Woohoo! Where I get to go, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to have people hate me. I'm going to be thrown in prison. Yeah, what a job. I love reading about Paul because he did that. If he's in prison, what did he do? He started praising the Lord. It didn't matter. I've been, you know, on these jobs and people thought I was crazy because I'd be, you know, working in whether it's retail or whatever in these huge warehouses and people would be coming back going, is the radio on? Because they hear me back there praising. And my voice, you know, I'm not a quiet guy anymore. Echoes off the walls, let's just say. And that's what I do. If I've got nothing else to do, I don't have a Bible with me, whatever. I have the word on my heart, but I'm going to praise him. I can't stop. So that's what's gonna happen. And hopefully someone's going to actually be encouraged by that. It says, so, however, in verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only that I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone out preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. And I'm sure they were saddened when they heard that. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number will men arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you or watching. I'm sorry. I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver, gold, or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, as he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You're storing up treasures in heaven, not a pat on the back. Don't worry about being a man pleaser. The thing we do, we're called to do. And there are going to be hardships. We know that. But guess what? If you're equipped by God, he's going to get you through. No matter what we see beyond these four walls, no matter how the storms rage, he has the ability with the Holy Spirit to calm the very storm. You have the ability to be calm in the very storm. But we can't be fearful of what is to come, what is happening, and stay hidden here, safe in our chairs. We've already been made overseers of all of this. We have five streets, but it's more than the five streets. It's all the Christians that are here, those that proclaim the name of Jesus, that Rochester was given the city to. Because if we don't go out and do it, there's others that are just, they're swarming around here. We've got Tibetan monks. We've got witchcraft of all kinds. Every time I turn around, there's a psychic fair or something, and there's this whole homosexual lesbian spirit that's coming in. No, I rebuke that. It's the people of God that need to go out there and speak the truth. I've always admired Anastasio in his young years, that man would walk from where he lives on Gregory Street into downtown Rochester and do something as simple as pass out a tract. Jesus loves you, so do I. He never stops. He's constantly in prayer. These are the people that encourage me in my life. Why? Because the word told me he's going to be there for that. He's going to instruct me on how to do things. There's women in this church that we have great men in this church. I love the fellowship with my brothers in this church right now. But we have some great women in this church, too, that God uses you. And I am blessed every time I'm around you guys. Do and be obedient to what God has called you to do. I'm going to go real quickly now to close. Second Timothy chapter 4. Bernice, how am I doing on time?
Okay.
I'm good?
No.
Okay.
We're all standing.
Oh, no. I told him, you know, I said yes to a half an hour, but I'm not the Holy Spirit if he does something else, but we are doing good. That's all that matters. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I love reading Timothy, and I love hearing how the Lord had used him to encourage. I mean, he was a young man, and how he is used to encourage so many young people. But it reads, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that I've heard that you've heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, and entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in a civilian's affairs. He wants to please the commanding officer. Am I in the right one? Yes, I am. Yeah. No, I'm doing 2 Timothy. Was it first? Yeah, because this is not the right one. Hold on. I'll get it. Which one was I reading? 2 Timothy's 4. Yeah, it's supposed to be 2 Timothy. Oh, I'm sorry, I was reading 2. That's why. Let's do that again. But that was still good. 2 Timothy 4, it says, in the presence of God, there we go, and Christ Jesus, who will be the judge of the living and the dead, and in the view of the appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and at the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We're to strive towards that day. We know how this is going to turn out. Well, we're not to sit back and just enjoy the music and enjoy the scenery and wait and hide out in these four walls. Endure the hardships that are out there. We used to use a word here, hoopamoni, to endure. You've got to get out there and be part of it. And I know many of you are, but there's right now, I've heard from, like I said, when Barbara O'Connor and Bob O'Connor came, Pastor Riding, so many people, they came here, and I could hear it clearly that so many are being called out. What did God tell you to do? What has God been telling you to do? What is he speaking to your heart to do? And many of us, I included, went home and said, no, I'm not trying to hear that. And see, I lead worship. I teach Sunday school. I goof around. My plate is full. No, Lord, I can't do this. But like I said, when I look around at where we were and where we are now, I've got great brothers in the Lord here. And when there's something going on, we're there for each other in prayer. We're there for each other in encouragement. We have great fellowship together. And you want the people of the world to be part of that. You want them to have that hope above hope, that joy that is endless in our life. I want everyone to know why I'm so happy all the time, why I'm so giddy all the time. Because I was shown how to not let the worries of the world get to me and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has control over everything in my life. Everything. I mess things up. He doesn't. He gives me instruction all the time, and right before I'm about to stray off that path where I think I understand what I'm doing, I know, Lord, I got this. No, you're supposed to be going this way. No, Lord. I clearly hear you saying go right. No, go left. And meanwhile, the Lord will just wait right here for me. I can go off for a minute. He'll wait on me. When I'm done doing all the foolishness I do and I messed up. Lord, I messed up. You're through? Can I do it now? You're going to listen this time? That's why we're his children. And sometimes they're literally, I'm bawling like, Lord, I don't understand your ways sometimes. I don't get it. I still laugh when we talk about the foundation of this church, the beginnings of this church, and when we thought people were panicking, oh, we're going to lose a building. He said, go plant some flowers. When pastor came here and said, the Lord said he wants us to go, are you crazy? Planting flowers? First of all, I don't even like the garden like that. I don't know. No. Plant flowers. We were cleaning up the dirt around the back, cleaning up the yard, and the whole time I'm like a child. I'm stupid. Dad got me out here doing yard work. What is this going to prove? We got to have a fundraiser. We got to jump in there and do it. No. And 20 years later, here we are. 20 years later, we've seen schools pop out of this place. We've seen ministries pop out of this place. We've seen orphanages help through us. We've seen ministries in other countries help. And everyone comes back and says, man, I just love coming here. It's like being home. The worship is always good. The praise of him is good. They know that they know they could see in you guys. And this is the last thing I'll share. And it's a strong testament. The thing that I love the most, before pastor came here, some of you can, confirm this. We had a problem with a gossiping spirit. I hated it. People were always talking about each other. Pastor came, Jane came. open books. All of a sudden, you're calm. People are getting along. And for 20 years, I have not seen anything like that in this church again. For 20 years. That is amazing. It's a simple command of God. Don't gossip about one another. Don't kill your brother with your tongue. Don't do those things. But it wasn't happening. People were like, that old nasty brother so-and-so, and this one over here had a fundraiser, and his group raised more money than me. Make me sick. I mean, we had all kinds of wicked things going on. Then all of a sudden, the service was starting. Praise the Lord. And, oh, man, I was bothered by it. I was really bothered by it. Then things happened, and praise God. I was so blessed to have Barbara here, because here was she came back still carrying some of that weight, some of that burden. She didn't know she could let it go. She had to wait till she came back here 20 years later to let it go. That was amazing. That was important for her. I was so happy for her. I was so happy for all of us to have that connection still, that loving family connection with her like that. So here it is. We have some pastors. Amazing teachers here. Pastor, you've encouraged Pastor Lydia Thompson, Elder Nelson, Anastasio Caban. There's so many people here that are capable of handling the words. Those of you that aren't, if you're not speaking a word or teaching, use them as an example on how to live your life, how to come into that point where you become that shepherd. Faithful in the little, and he will eventually put you with much more. That's all I have to share with y'all today. Thank you.